they stay persistent in your journey. Don't give up. I think it's like riding a bike. You know, you have the training wheels on in the beginning. So I would just say take one step at a time, stay persistent, and build the muscle.
Today I am joined by Natasha Campbell from WealthStylist.com. I don't deserve this hang time, but she's lowered her standards to be on the show. Natasha, welcome to Starve the Outs. How are you?
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I'm doing amazing now that I'm here with you.
Well, you're looking like you're ready to rock. That must mean your podcast is ready, I'm guessing.
Yes, and I just started my podcast.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. It's been about maybe 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks since I've launched.
Not everyone makes it that long.
I know.
Believe it or not.
But I love it. It actually started off as a challenge through my community, Toastmasters, and a way to get my voice out there. So I was like, I'll do this podcast thing.
So let's talk about Toastmasters for a minute. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, about a year.
A year? Okay. Yes. Now, when I went through Toastmasters, I'm not currently involved, but at one point I was a distinguished Toastmaster. I wasn't distinguished, but what speech are you on? Like, Let's go there.
They revamped the whole program. So now everything is digital.
I'm out of the loop then.
Yeah, everything. Now you have pathways. So you have to take a quiz and you choose your pathway. So you can do motivational, you can do research, you can do leadership. So there's different pathways that you can choose now with Toastmasters. So they're getting rid of the book. I mean, you can still order it if you choose, but most of it, they're trying to go digital now.
But the framework of a typical meeting, if I recall, is that's still probably similar, I would imagine, right?
Yes, we've kept the meeting the same.
So you got a master ceremonies, you got, you know, different people giving talks, and then people sharing their feedback or whatever.
Yeah, they have the table topics.
Evaluations and
tables. Yes, that's cool. Still in place. And then the word of the day, that's still in place. And then the quiz master will ask questions to make sure we're listening. I haven't been too good at that, so I need to get
So are you winning ribbons every week? Or?
No, I've only won one, to be honest. But
did you take a selfie with it?
And no, I should have.
You're like the only one in the history of Toastmasters to never take a picture of that ribbon.
I'm going to make sure I do
that
when I get home.
I'm kind of proud of you, and I think I like you more now.
That's the humble one. Yeah, That's the humble in me.
My speech today is about being humble.
So I do still have it. So I guess I need to take a selfie and say and tag you on
like,
it.
I got the best speaker award. Yeah. Go ahead and click like.
And this is still a blue ribbon. So
it's a blue ribbon.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's
why Toastmasters? You seem pretty confident. You seem pretty well spoken. What?
I think I needed to have more confidence in myself.
Really?
Yeah. More confidence in my speaking because like in my mind, I knew what I wanted to say and how I wanted to connect with people, but it just didn't come out that way.
That's funny. Now you're a year into this, so obviously there's been some confidence built. But to me, that's surprising to hear you say that because what I'm seeing, who I'm talking to now, doesn't seem like the person that would struggle with that.
Oh, yeah. So thank you so much. That's such a great compliment. Yes. In the beginning, I was afraid to even stand up, to do any of the responsibilities in Toastmasters. I'm like, no, I'm just here to listen.
No. Yeah.
Don't give me any more responsibilities. I'm not answering any questions.
That's when you set yourself up to be selected.
And now they're like, oh, no, next week you're going to have to, you know, go ahead and consider because they don't force it on you.
Oh, that's good.
But then they're like, okay, well, we would like you to have the opportunity. And then I gave my first icebreaker. And I think that resonated with them so much that they were like, okay, you need to do more motivational speaking. I don't know what's going on, but you need to really start having more times where you're, you know, talking and having those conversations.
So for those who haven't been in the Toastmasters universe, the icebreaker is really where you just kind of tell them about yourself, right?
Yeah.
So what did you talk about in your icebreaker?
Well, I talked about my story, how I grew up in poverty. I was living on Biscayne, so if anyone's lived in Miami, they knew that was a really rough area in my time. So when I would go to school, there was prostitutes, drug dealers, while I'm catching the magnet bus to go to. Yes, and so I started college very young as well, at 16. And so I talked about that as my journey. And then I talked about being in an accident. I had gotten hit by a drunk driver while I was crossing the street. And so I just shared pieces of me. Yeah, and then I talked about going through abuse with my stepfather, and that was really, I think that really resonated with them because sometimes we don't share our story, and sometimes people feel like they're alone in it, and I didn't want them to feel that way. So for me, sharing my story is more freeing, so I just decided to...
Well, for someone who's navigated some challenging things, some difficult things, You have a glow.
Oh, thank you.
Where does that
you.
Come from?
I think it's my mindset, my attitude, my perspective on life. I don't feel like everything is, you know, what you focus on expands. I think that's the biggest thing to focus on. And I've been through a lot of trauma in my life. So to focus on that negativity would not support me. So I decided that, hey, you know what? I have to start doing something differently for myself. And then I just continue to build that muscle. I think it's really a muscle where you have to build it up. And so I started with tapes, you know, books, just every day. Forgiving myself was another big thing.
You had someone, you know, do things to you. You got hit by a car. Forgiving yourself? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I felt that it was my fault that all these things were happening to me. And then I had a premature daughter. And then I wasn't working at 5 months. So, I mean, it was just so many different things that happened. And so what I've begun to understand is that storms are temporary and they come to teach us a lesson. And it's what you do with that information that will either empower you or disempower you. So I took all that feedback because that's what I consider it. I don't think in life there's any such thing as failure. It's all feedback of what I can do with the information, how I can rewrite my story, how I can look at it differently, change my perspective on it instead of looking at it as negative, 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 because that doesn't empower you. I mean, if anything, that pulls you away from moving forward.
For most people, that is the reaction is if this hadn't happened, you've been able to separate yourself from that. That's not easy.
I know.
What was like that stepping stone to get to a place where you could do that?
Well, I believe you can only be a victim once. The next time you're a volunteer. So decide to be a volunteer in your own situation, then I think that that's your responsibility.
Where does that come from, you think?
Where did that
come from for you?
For me, there's so many. I'm getting goosebumps right now because there's so many different pivotal moments for me in my journey. The biggest pivotal moment was when I had my premature daughter. She was 27 weeks. And I mean, she was in the NICU for 8 weeks. And at the time, I didn't even have $150 in my bank account. I hadn't been working for several months. And I knew that this could not be my story.
It's a stressful place.
I was emotionally, spiritually, financially in distress. I mean, it's so overwhelming. And then you're connecting with other women who have premature daughters or premature children and who may have lost their children in the process. I mean, what words can you give that person who loses their parent? So it became like a community for me to kind of develop the confidence, you know, not confidence. I wouldn't say it's confidence, but develop relationship building skills, building the muscle on, okay, things could be a lot different right now. I should be very thankful in the moment. So being grateful was one of the things I learned because the nurses would tell me, you don't know how grateful you should be in this moment. Like your daughter's doing really good, even though she was 27 weeks and 2.5 pounds. And I'm like seeing all these tubes and everything on her face. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, this is not good. And of course, in their medical experience, for them, she was doing amazing. And I mean, it just all sparked from there, you know.
It'd be so easy for others to just be overwhelmed, exhausted, physically, mentally, spiritually, all of those things.
Yes.
Somehow you've been able to get beyond that. That right there to me is like, wow, how?
The resilience in me. I'm a fighter. I think I'm a fighter. My mom says it all the time. She's like, you're too ambitious for your own spirit. And I think that that has helped me overall. So I'm just a fighter. I see life differently.
Well, okay, so you haven't stayed in that chapter or season of your life.
You've
made some incredible progression.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Like, what's going on now?
Okay.
How do we get from there to here?
Well, I always say that I'm not the average money expert because I aim to do more to teach women how to budget and save for their goals. I believe that women come to me to elevate their thinking. They increase their confidence with money because that was another important area in my life when I started my money journey.
Hey, you can relate to that.
Yes, yes. I mean, I didn't have money.
Of course.
And so in the beginning, I couldn't read a money book that told me to save money when I didn't have money and I didn't have any income coming in.
That's not the advice that's going to help you in that moment.
I started journaling. That really helped me to kind of become more aware of what I was doing because I said I always share with people that I have a finance degree, but I was financially dysfunctional. So for me, rebuilding a relationship with money has nothing to do with money and everything to do with you and your mindset. And I think that's really key when anyone decides to rebuild a healthy relationship with their money is really to look at yourself, you know, really to look at, become more self-aware because I think self-aware is what opens us up and brings us closer. But when we live in denial, it kind of pushes things away and then we don't make the necessary changes that we need to make in our life. So, and then from there, I started helping other women who started to see my journey. So I had my daughter about a year later. I got married. We were able to save $16,000. We purchased our first home. We paid off the debt.
Now, was that scorched earth living during that time? Like, how do you save $60,000?
I gave up boyfriend then, now husband.
Right.
We decided to give up our apartment. There was no money coming in for me. And we moved in with his parents.
Sure that had its moments.
But we had to do what we had to do.
You did what you had to do.
Yes. And so then I started to look at our needs and our wants. And I always say needs is what sustain you. Wants is what entertains you. So when you pull away from those wants and just start looking at your needs and looking for creative ways to meet your needs, you can do so much more with your money instead of using that to entertain you. So we decided to come up with a plan. Well, we had to start to work together. That was another thing.
I mean, there's so many temptations to say, okay, I see this person. They went on this trip or they bought this.
And I was young. I was only 24 at the time.
Yeah, that's.
And, you know, my girlfriends were going out, buying shoes, getting hair done, you know, hair weaves. That's expensive.
It adds up. Yeah. Amen.
And so I had to stay committed to the process. And one of the ways is my husband, he's very, very focused. And so he helped me to stay on the path to righteousness.
Well, that's where accountability really.
Yeah.
Kept you in line and going in the right direction.
We never had a goal to save $16,000. I mean, we only had a goal just to save some money. I don't believe I knew anyone in my family that had saved that much in a year. So we were just aiming for maybe like $5,000 for a down payment on the house. But it just kind of took off. And then our credit score was doing really well. Even now we have a debate. Like mine's will maybe 817 and his will be like 822. And I'm like, oh man, your credit score is higher than me. And it's like a funny little debate inside. But it keeps us motivated, too. I also think that having a healthy relationship with your spouse is important because usually it's not really about the money, but the communication about money that's the problem.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're fortunate, too, that you had his blessing and he had your back. And
yes,
I mean, you know, I'm sure you know there's some people that don't have that.
I know.
That's another challenge they have to work through. So
yes, that's
fortunately
true.
you had support. So.
And it didn't happen like easily that
way. I'm sure it did.
You know, in the beginning, I had to like just, okay, this is what I would like to do. Because we both had our own different money stories. His parents are stable background. They're still married today. They're actually at our house now.
Okay.
They've been married for like 40 years and they've always stayed together. My mom has been remarried twice. So we just had a different, you know, story when it came to money. He's more like, we're working together with this. Like, I saw my mom and dad do this together, and I'm like, I got my own money. I'm putting it in my own bank account. Like, you're not taking my money from me.
I'm getting my rope twist.
What you know about rope twist?
I'm going to be on fleek. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's keep going. I hear you, though.
So, yeah. So, we had to work through some of those things. And then managing the money, that was another, you know, opportunity for us to start communicating together. But it's helped us. Now it's so embedded into who we are with our children. I mean, my son, he's like, Mom, what's the budget? You told me I can purchase something, but what's the budget? So I can look online. And just having those conversations, he's only 7. And he's asking me, what's the budget?
Wow, what a lesson to learn at that age.
I know.
Good for you.
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Oh, well done.
I would just say be persistent. You know, it's very easy. And I still make mistakes. I always tell people that, you know, even with what I'm doing, sometimes I still do make financial mistakes. But it's okay. That's, you know, forgiving yourself.
What's something that someone can do to say, whether it's questions they're asking themselves or some kind of guardrail, where they're less likely to make financial mistakes if they follow whatever? What do you recommend?
Well, the first thing I would say is become aware of where you are.
Right.
So becoming self-aware of what's going on right now. Because most of the time, people are not aware of what they're doing right now. Create a money plan. Because a mental plan is not a money plan. So becoming more conscious and connected to your money. I used to carry the little checkbooks. And I used to write down everything that I would spend so that I could become conscious and connected to my money. Because it's so easy to just swipe, 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 swipe. And then you're like, wait a minute. I spent $100 at Target?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm never going back. I'm kidding. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. And then writing my money goes on my debit card helped me so much because I was literally at the store and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I got to put this back. And the cashier's looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, this is my goal. And she's like, oh, okay. And it just, you know, finding ways to get more connected to your money, I think would be one of those buffer systems. For me, it was writing it on my debit card, weekly check-ins with my money. We still do that together as a family. I think that that's really important so that you know what's going on. You don't want a big surprise. No money monsters here. Yeah.
You're here in Orlando.
Yay!
Where's home?
Orlando.
Orlando's home.
Yeah! Okay.
What do you love about Orlando?
It's so family oriented. We moved from Miami here, and it's just more, it's slower pace.
Yes.
My mom really
cost of living is,
yes, you know, it's a lot cheaper. Yes.
It's true.
Yes. And so my mom, she always has to get used to it because she loves the city life. So when she comes here, she's like, oh my goodness, it's so slow here. And I'm like, no, it's okay. So I love it because it's more family oriented. We're really close to Disney, like 15, 20 minutes from Disney. So it's just, for me, family is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're in a great city for all kinds of things, all kinds of people.
Yes. The food.
To spread your message to.
Yes.
I think you're in the right place.
Yes. Yeah. I feel so too.
Okay. For someone right now who's listening saying, man, I need to get some changes in place, implemented, but I don't know where to start. What are you saying to that person?
Oh, that's a good one. For me, I started with just writing out my own personal experience with journaling. I know a lot of people say, oh, journaling.
Now, you mentioned journal. What was your journal like?
For me, it was a money journal. So
okay,
that's
so you're tracking your money. Yeah.
Yes, I wrote out how I felt. So it was like a non-judgmental space for me where I could feel, like I said, connected with my money. And then also write down my mistakes and my failures. And every day I had to wake up and forgive myself. Like, Natasha, okay, I forgive you for making this purchase. Today is going to be a better day. So what can we do to make that improvement? Having an accountability partner really helps as well. Someone that is on the side of you. You know, someone that's there to support you, not to like point fingers like you should have done this, but someone who's also trying to achieve what you're trying to achieve so you can motivate each other. Having that community, I think, is really important.
Do you recommend that to be a family member? Do you think it's better to... because some friends are going to tempt you to go out and...
That's true.
Maybe not have good, good practices or whatever. How do you find somebody that's maybe... How do you find somebody you think that you could have that accountability with?
I would say create a checklist of what you're looking for and then start kind of like interviewing for a job. And then you ask them, hey, would you want to join me on this partnership? I'm on the journey to saving $5,000. What are you on the journey to do with your money? You know, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a weekly check-in. I'm looking for someone to come and, you know, look at my spending plan. So start creating guidelines of what you're looking for. Be very specific about what you want. I think oftentimes people are not specific about what they want. And then when they get the results of the outcome, they're like, what happened?
Well, the next correct answer is to reach out to Natasha.
Oh, yeah. And then, yes, of course. And then,
now, Natasha might, you know.
I'm trying to be humble here.
She might hold you accountable for real.
Yes.
So you may or may not want that. But no, I think they would want that. But yeah, no, there are options out there.
And yes. Yeah.
Facebook groups or online.
Yes, that's another.
People that are trying to save money and be wise.
Yes, there's so many great communities available. I have one.
You have your own. Which one is that?
It's called the Wealth Circle, Design the Life That You Love.
Is it a Facebook group?
Yes, it's a Facebook group.
Can anybody join? Is it just for women?
It's mostly for women.
Okay.
Yeah, it's mostly for women. So it's a growing community of women. So if they feel like they are looking for that support, then they are more than welcome.
So they can join that group, and that's a group where they could potentially find an accountability partner.
Yes, that's very true.
I hope they check that out.
Talk about money.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So as we close up, which I know is awful.
I know.
You would let me, I would talk for another hour. We always like to ask two questions. One being, where can people connect with you online?
Oh, that's such a great question. My website is wealthstylist.com. It's real simple and easy.
It is simple and easy.
Yes, I like simple, practical.
And you got a new podcast that people should be...
Yes, the Wealth Stylist Podcast.
They should
I'm
be
so
checking that out.
That.
I'm going to subscribe as soon as we stop.
Yes,
here.
I'm going to have you on there.
Oh, no.
You're going to have
afraid.
To say yes now, while you're on here.
I'm not a woman, and I may or may not be good with money. No. The last question is final thoughts. We always like to give final thoughts to people who are listening. So what's your final thought?
I would just say stay persistent in your journey. Ooh. Don't give up. I think it's like riding a bike. You know, you have the training wheels on in the beginning. Once you build that muscle, build that confidence with your money, then you can take the training wheels off and you can start riding by yourself. Or maybe you might need someone to push you while you're, you know, riding your bike. So I would just say take one step at a time, stay persistent, and build the muscle.
Natasha's a fighter. She's a leader. She's a Toastmaster. She's a podcaster. Lots of hats. I love it. Hey, congratulations and thank you again.
Thank you for having me.